The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. Steve Nichol, Sebastian Salazar with you here in studio. As always, Stevie, plenty to look forward to on the weekend. We're going to hear from Archie Rintutt in just a little bit. That top four race in Germany certainly heating up. But let's start in the Premier League, just the one match on Friday, but a pretty good one at that. At least dramatic. Manchester City 4-3 winners over Newcastle. They actually had to come from behind twice, did City, and thanks to a Ferran Torres hat trick, they were able to pick up the 3 points. What does it mean for the table? Well, not much. Manchester City already clinching the title thanks to the Manchester United defeat earlier this week, the third Manchester City Premier League title under Pep Guardiola. Joining us for more, Craig Burley and Nada Manuo. We'll hear from them in just a little bit. But Stevie, I'll start with you. A 7-goal thriller, probably not what we expected from this game. Pretty good.
You didn't expect goals?
I didn't expect a 4-3, no.
No, I expected goals. This is a game that really didn't mean an awful lot to either side. Mm-hmm. You know, Pep Guardiola's talking about the games between now and the Champions League final could be a chance for somebody to play themselves in. I mean, do you really think Ferran Torres, with 3 goals, has played his way into the Champions League starting line? I don't think so. I thought there was going to be goals in it. Mm-hmm. I thought City were going to score. I didn't think they were going to lose 3. But you know what? At the end of the day, it was a good game to watch. But it really didn't mean a lot.
Yeah, Nadim, 8 changes for Manchester City from the 11 that we saw in that second leg against PSG in the Champions League semi-final. It tells you kind of what Pep was thinking about this match.
Yeah, 100%. I think the fact that the league is already tied up, it means he can throw players in there to see how they react. And as Stevie was saying there, you know, Pep does say that it seems as if, you know, he's looking at players to see if they'll make the Champions League final team. And realistically, they probably won't. But I think for some of the players out there, they have to take the opportunity, because if they do have a bad performance or they show the wrong attitude, then they probably play themselves out of contention altogether. So I think that's a big point in itself. But he made the changes, and it was a 4-3, which is very unlike City away from home this year, because I think to this point they probably conceded 9 away all season. But ultimately it was a good game for the neutral. It was a good game to watch. And even though there's nothing on the line, I suppose you'd rather see that than maybe a 0-0 or something like that.
Craig, what do you think? Do you think Pep's 11 for the Champions League final is set, or do you think a performance like what we saw today from Torres could play him into a role?
No, I think he's pretty much going to be set on the guys that he knows that can do the job for him. Look, you're always trying to encourage your players to go out and feel that they're playing for, you know, a place in the side. And listen, nobody wants colleagues to get injured or miss a game for whatever reason, but it could happen. And the one thing you've got to do is, if there's a couple of knocks or injuries or illness for Man City, to show that you could be the guy to come in if that is the case. So, yeah, you want to be professional about it. But I think most of the guys that play, and we've seen it already this season in the big games, know which way he's going to go. I suppose the one caveat to that is that Chelsea have beaten him twice recently, and that maybe altering his thinking a little bit in terms of who he selects, or maybe he's going to try and change something to try and alter that. But in terms of personnel, I don't think we'll see much of a change from the strong 11 that he selected,
Stevie,
in the big games.
Yeah, Pep said he wasn't going to rest players ahead of the Champions League final. Obviously, the lineup that we saw today suggests he will. What's the balance there from a manager's perspective between rest and keeping the guys you know are going to play in the Champions League final sharp?
Well, I think it's important that training's sharp. It's not obviously long, but it is quick, and players are into it, and you don't have them there too long. I think it's also important that team that you've got in your head, you've got to get them on the field. And I think we'll see that team the week before the final. Mm. I think that team will start against Everton. I think Brighton will be the same as what we saw against Newcastle. People will be left behind. It will be a reserve team. But You look at Everton, the team that's playing Everton, I would pretty much guarantee you that has to be the side that starts. Because you can't expect to not have your first team playing together for 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe not as long as that, but maybe two, three weeks. And then expect them just to go on the field and gel. You have to get them on the field together. That would be the game to do it.
Nadim, this is the first time that we've had you on since Manchester City clinched the title. You with your City ways. Look at this run from November 25th through the beginning of March. 28 games across all competitions unbeaten. We forget this team got off to a terrible start this season. How do we explain what happened over these months?
It's, you know, to be honest, it was crazy. I think one thing that this season's shown to them, I think to people from the outside, is for Man City, you know, they can find another way to win a league, because I think in years gone by, they've been front runners. They've been in the top two for most of the season, maybe going head to head with somebody. But this time they came from the middle of the pack because the start of the season was so poor by their own standards. I think when they lost 5-2 at home to Leicester, people were writing them off. And in some ways, you could argue it was rightly so, because that was very, very unfamiliar for what City had been for the years gone by. But they found something, you know, whether it was a case of Pep basically changing his ideas, the players bucking up their own ideas. I think there's lots of talk about a meeting Fernandinho called amongst the players to say, you know, they have to do better. But from that point, for the majority, they literally were perfect. And the run that they went on, obviously at times there were things which went their way in terms of United and Liverpool falling off and so on. But they were literally perfect. And all you could do, all you could hope to do was match it, because you couldn't better it. So that time there, that's essentially what's helped them win the league. And it was incredible, because in that time as well, I think they played some of the best football I've seen. And to add to that, through long periods, they didn't have Sergio Aguero playing or Kevin De Bruyne, but they were still absolutely exceptional. So they found a way in that time through the manager and through the players to be as good as the collective instead of the individuals. And ultimately, you know, I think they deserve the league title. And they've, as I say, they've shown a different way to do it, because they haven't been front runners like we've seen before.
Sebi, I think Steve makes a good point. Just to go back a little bit, it's a difficult balance in that, because obviously the league's over. If the league hadn't have been over, it would have been much more simple. But as Stevie was saying, you just can't leave people out for 2, 3, 4 weeks and then pitch up at a Champions League final and say, you've had a rest, you're playing, because you lose that little bit of match sharpness. And so he is going to have to play the guys for sure, and that's a risk for injury, as I said. But you need to keep that sharpness. You don't want to overdo it, but you need to make sure that De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva and all the and Phil Foden and all these guys, they've got their eye in. They're still up to speed. They're still sharp. They've still had enough matches or enough time within the matches that they've got that match sharpness. That's the first thing that goes. If you're out, if you rest, or if you're out injured, when you come back and you train and then you go into games, it's that match sharpness. And so he'll have some decisions to make in terms of his team selection, because as Stevie rightly said, he'll want the guys to go in there off the back of some good performances and make sure they're firing all cylinders.
All right, one thing we know that City won't win this year, the FA Cup. Fourth final at Wembley on Saturday, Chelsea and Leicester City. Chelsea the favourites, as you can see right there. Of course, these two teams will play next Tuesday as well in a match that has huge Champions League top four implications. Probably both these teams are not going to end up in the Champions League next season. It's going to come down to that match, most likely. Steve, I'll start with you here. What's more important to Chelsea? Let's take the Chelsea angle first. Champions League or hardware?
I think you've got to say Champions League.
Listen, why was it so tough for you? I thought you would have been.
Well, how can you turn around and say, well, winning the FA Cup's not important?
I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not as important as making Champions League.
Right, and that's why I kind of screwed my face up and decided that it was the Champions League. You know, if they lose the FA Cup final, finish in the top four, regardless of whether they win or lose the Champions League final, it will be looked upon as a success. But you know what? It could change very quickly. They could still not make the top four. Mm. They could still end the season outside the top four and have no silverware. So, listen, Champions League, in my opinion, after the Premier League, is the one for Chelsea.
Nadim, you agree? It's the priority here for Chelsea to win the match against Leicester in the league and not the FA Cup?
Not necessarily, but only because I believe at this stage of the season, for everything that they're going for, I think you can play a strong team in both games. Because it's not as if it was like Man United just went through this week where they played Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. I think to be able to play Saturday and then to play Tuesday or Wednesday against a side who were essentially going through the same sort of thing in terms of travel and so on, I think you can go for it. I think you're at that stage of the season now where you should be expecting players to be ready to play and for everything to be at its maximum, because this is when you are playing for the biggest things. And like I say, it's 7 days left of the regular English season. To be thinking about resting people or prioritising one thing or another, I don't know. I'd like to think they can send out a strong team to go and win both games. And if they do that, then, you know, come the end of the season, they might have won an FA Cup, finished in the top four, and maybe even won a Champions League. So for me, I say just go all in and then just see what happens.
Craig, we've talked about this Chelsea squad at length throughout the season. Is this where we see it pay dividends?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to pay dividends. I mean, the two tough games, particularly the City game. Leicester haven't been in the greatest of form recently, for sure. But look, you go for it in both games. Like Nedim says, you don't try and be too clever about your team selection. You go out, you try and win both games. But ultimately, if they win the Champions League, then the top four scenario is out the equation for them anyway, isn't it? So they know what they have to do. But yeah, I wouldn't be trying to prioritise one over the other, because just go out, try and win the FA Cup, which they are favourites, and then brush yourself down and go into the Champions League final, where they're not favourites, but they've had success against Man City. So I think Tuchel will make a reasonable balance at doing that. They've got enough players, and if there's any issues, or they're winning, for example, comfortably in the FA Cup final, and that's a big if, you can always take some players off and give them a rest.
Do you know, if I'm Tommy Tuchel, I am playing the best team I have these last four games.
Even if they drop?
If something happens, somebody gets injured, somebody looks fatigued, then you make a change. That's why you have a big squad. Mm-hmm. If you try and be too clever and try and prioritise anything, you could end up slipping up in the mall. You know, I just said for Nedim that they could end up with nothing. Mm. But Nedim's saying, well, they could end up with everything. But if you try and be too clever, that's probably more reason why you end up with nothing. You play your best team every single time you can between now and the last game of the season, and things will happen, and then you adjust. But I'll tell you what, if he tries to be too clever, he could blow the whole thing up.
Mm. All right, let's get some predictions. Nedim, you'll be at Wembley tomorrow. Who you got winning?
Yeah, I've got Chelsea, but I'm going to say probably Chelsea 2-1. Maybe it'll be a good game by the end, but we shall see.
Craig, you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to go for my old club, because they've looked strong. And say Leicester haven't been playing as well with the two up front. Vardy's not been as sharp. Maddison in behind hasn't been as sharp. He was left out at Old Trafford. See what happens there. So yeah, I'm going to go for Chelsea 2-1 the same.
Stevie, you going to make it 3-3?
Absolutely. Yeah. To me, Leicester look jaded. Hmm. From Southampton to Newcastle to even winning against United, they look jaded to me. I can only see one winner, and that's Chelsea. Mm.
You worried about them for top four, Leicester?
I am a little bit, yes. Because, listen, if you can't cut through a United reserve team that absolutely was a reserve team and looked dangerous, how are you supposed to go and win the games that you need to win a cup or get in the top four? Don't see it happening.
All right, right. Well, I'm not sure if folks have caught every single episode of the Conversation series that we've got on our ESPN FC YouTube channel, but they definitely should. Shaka Hislop, Alexis Nunes doing a great job. Their latest guest, none other than Nedim himself. So make sure to check that out over on our ESPN FC YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRICEBikes.com.
Bayern Munich have already wrapped up their ninth straight Bundesliga title, so now the drama shifts to who will take those last two spots in the Champions League. Wolfsburg, Dortmund, Frankfurt, in that order, are your contenders. Archie Rin Tutt joins us now. Archie, Dortmund coming off that big win in the German Cup final, but no time to rest. They got to go to Mainz on the weekend, who actually took points off them back in January.
They did. And if I remember correctly as well, as Marco Reus was shaping up to take a penalty in that game, one of the Mainz players mischievously whispered to him, well, I don't think it was much of a whisper, but more shouted at him, he's going to miss. And Marco Reus did miss that penalty. Now we fast forward a couple of months, and Marco Reus is back in form. It's Marco Reus Revival, which also sounds like the name of probably Stevie's new band. I don't know. But all the same, he's been in stunning form in recent weeks, coupled with his performance in the cup final, leading Borussia Dortmund to their fifth DFB Cup. And whilst Mainz have done very well to trip up lots of other big teams recently on a 10-game unbeaten run, including that scalp of Bayern Munich, which I saw a few weeks ago, where they were excellent. They're very good on the counter, doing exactly what Dortmund did to Leipzig in the DFB Cup final. I think that the momentum that Borussia Dortmund have right now, the way that their front players are playing, Erling Haaland, Jadon Sancho, Marco Reus, Mo Dahoud with his balls in behind, Emre Can, the energy that he was giving last night as well. I think you have to make Dortmund the favourites for this one.
Archie, what about their manager, Edin Terzic? He now has a German Cup. He may end up getting them into the top four, and yet he's going to be Marco Reus's assistant next year. That doesn't sound fair.
No, it's somehow very Borussia Dortmund that they've somehow managed to lose out of winning in this sense that after appointing Marco Reus for next season, which looked like a smooth move, particularly when Edin Terzic was struggling back in January. I remember speaking to him after two crushing defeats for us on ESPN FC against Leverkusen and Gladbach. And it looked like he was trying to execute far too much change too rapidly. But since then, the run that they have gone on, he was talking about the Sevilla game in the Champions League being a real turning point for his tenure. And they've really gelled together. It does feel weird to think of him going back to being an assistant coach if he's not a head coach at Borussia Dortmund in years to come at some point. A friend of mine has joked that he'll be in the job by December, given the way things might go for Marco Reus. Then I think that he will certainly be in a big coaching job in Germany. If not, why not in England? His English is more than good enough. He's worked there before as an assistant manager to Slaven Bilic. So he is an incredible talent, but also a very pleasant, it's not the right word. He's a lovely human being. And in his interview with me last night, he was talking about how difficult it had been for him. He wasn't sure whether 6 months ago his dad was going to be alive still right now. So he was so emotional last night. And first time in a post-match interview, Sebi, that I've had tears coming to my eyes listening to him talk. So this victory meant a lot to him on a lot of levels.
Mm. Did you cry under your shirt? Is that why you had to wear what you're wearing now?
Very good. Very good. How long did it take you to come up with that one?
Just a little bit. Dortmund play on Sunday. Another huge game on Sunday. Leipzig and Wolfsburg. Let's start with the Leipzig angle on this. Like, what state are they in coming into this game? Julian Nagelsmann, lots of criticism after the German Cup final. Dayo Upamecano, lots of criticism after the German Cup final. Leipzig really seemed to be limping across the line.
I think you put it perfectly. Ragged is the way that they approach this game. In their big games this season, I count 11 of them against PSG, Bayern, Manchester United, Liverpool, and Borussia Dortmund. In those 11 games, they've won only two of them, and they've conceded 27 goals. Now, for Julian Nagelsmann, who has a fantastic and burgeoning reputation, and somebody who I think is going to be one of the great coaches in the game, it is still quite worrying, I would say, that record and the performances in these big games. I think that he hasn't necessarily had the resources to be as gung-ho as he has approached these games, and he's taken big risks which haven't paid off. Namely, last night he plays Deo Upamecano, who has been in wretched form recently, and he bounces off Erling Haaland like a trampoline. And usually we're used to seeing other players bounce off Deo Upamecano. So that was a real shift in the narrative. The fact that Upamecano's off to Bayern with him as well adds something else to it. And when he played Yi-Chang Huan and Alexander Zorlot up front, that was not expected. Julian Nagelsmann says there were reasons with that for injuries and whatnot, but tactically, he got done by Edin Terzic. So he is going to be judged at Bayern on his performances in the big games. In the Champions League, that's what it's going to come down to. Julian Nagelsmann knows himself that there is work to be done in that sense, but that's not how he'll view it. He views, I think, most things in a very tactical fashion, but I'm sure that he will be looking at things at the end of the season, working out what he could have done better.
All right, you keep mentioning Bayern Munich. Of course, they're going to win the Bundesliga, no doubt there. The only drama left in the season for Bayern is, will Robert Lewandowski break Gerd Müller's record for most goals in a Bundesliga season? Archie, going to do it?
Yes. In fact, well, when I was speaking to Freiburg and some members of the hierarchy there last week, I said that we were coming down to the Freiburg Bayern game because of the Robert Lewandowski record. And they said to me, and they said, well, why are you coming down, though? He's not going to break it this weekend. He's breaking it next weekend. So Freiburg are cheekily confident of keeping Robert Lewandowski out. I'm not sure how confident they should be, given the way that he was playing last weekend against Borussia Mönchengladbach with that hat trick. I've also seen Robert Lewandowski do amazing things in this fixture away at Freiburg. I remember a game 7, which was a couple of Januaries ago. It was minus 12. I had to put on a third pair of socks in the first half. It was freezing. And yet Robert Lewandowski came out with this outrageous piece of skill to win a game for Bayern that they had no right to be winning in injury time in the second half. And it's precisely that quality that Robert Lewandowski has, which for me makes it inevitable he's going to break this Gerd Müller record.
Archie, one more thing on Bayern Munich. Hansi Flick in the last couple days has been linked not just to Barcelona, but to Juventus as well. What happened? I thought he was taking the German national team job after Euros.
I think he is. I don't see any movement apart from that to Juventus or Barcelona. That would be very surprising. The most important thing, I think, for any German coach taking that job now is the fact that on the horizon, you have the European Championships in Germany in 2024. That is a very appealing factor in taking the national team job. Also, Hansi Flick knows the hierarchy there very well. And I think part of the reason why he's quitting Bayern is because he's unhappy with the friction that there has been with sporting director Hasan Salihamidžić. Why would he risk going into dangerous structures like Barcelona right now? I don't think you could phrase Juventus like that. But if we're looking at the way that Barcelona's run, are you telling me that it's going to be better than his experience at Bayern? And Bayern is, in comparison, a paradise on earth, even if it may have its Hollywood moments. So I still very much expect Hansi Flick, who has said that he's had good talks with the team manager, as they call it here, Oliver Bierhoff, to be taking this German national team job after Joachim Löw leaves.
Archie, thank you very much. We love you even when we make fun of your clothes. Over on the ESPN FC YouTube channel, we're nearing 1 million subscribers. Can you believe it? Don't be left out. We got show clips. We got Shaka's power rankings. We got extra time. So much more.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Two matches left in the Spanish season. Atletico 2 points clear of Real Madrid, 4 points ahead of Barcelona. Let's take a look at the run-in for that top three. Atleti home this weekend against Osasuna, then away against Valladolid. For Real Madrid, it's away to Athletic Club Bilbao on the weekend, then home against Villarreal. Barcelona closing up with Celta Vigo and Eibar. Sid Lowe, Julian Laurent, join us in just a little bit. Ale Moreno joining me here in studio. All right, of the three that are left, Ale, who's most likely to slip up this weekend?
Most likely, and I don't know if it's even a slip up, it's Real Madrid away at San Mamés against Athletic Club Bilbao. And it's a game that if you lose points, that you draw points, you wouldn't be surprised because it's a tough place to play. We have said this so many times. It was Athletic Club Bilbao that essentially beat Sevilla and they said goodbye to any sort of title hope. They did beat Atletico Madrid not too long ago as well. So they may play a part in this title race after all, in that they may just be the team that puts Real Madrid out of their misery. I'm not even going to talk about Barcelona because
they don't deserve to be on the graphic.
To be quite honest with you, after the week that they've had or the last couple of weeks that they've had, yeah, they don't deserve to be in the graphic. I think they've played themselves out of that contention. As for Atletico Madrid, even though it will look like a struggle and it would feel like this is something that they're going to suffer to get it over the line, they'll do just enough. That's how the games will look, and they will be stressful, and Simeone will be going crazy, and the players will be having all sorts of difficult times closing out a game, but they'll do enough. The one who's more likely to slip up is Real Madrid against Bilbao.
All right, let's bring in Sid and Jules then. Sid, do you agree with Ale? Real Madrid most likely to drop points?
Look, I think when you look at the fixtures and when you apply logic, I think Ale's absolutely right. Real Madrid are going away to Athletic Club. They are playing at San Mamés, whereas Atletico Madrid are at home against Osasuna, a team who in theory have nothing to play for. That's the logical answer. But you tell me something. At what point during this season has it been logical? At what point during this season have things been the way they're supposed to be? One thing I absolutely agree with Ali on, no matter what happens and no matter what the final result is, the process, the journey of getting towards that final result will feel like absolute agony to everybody involved. And I really loved what Diego Simeone said this week after the game against Real Sociedad. And he was speaking for Atletico Madrid, but I think he could be speaking for everybody. He said, it's going to be very hard. The reality is that there is tiredness and the anxiety exists. And that's the truth now. These last two games are going to be horribly tense no matter how they actually finish up.
Jules, it's not just the opposition for Real Madrid. It's the injury issues, a growing list, including now Toni Kroos, who's in isolation. Just a massive loss for Real Madrid ahead of this game.
It's huge, and defensively as well. I mean, all season, really, they've had problems. Zidane has had problems, whether it was COVID, even impacting himself and his staff, the players, injuries, of course, long, and not just little ones, long ones, are big players. Sergio Ramos, of course, especially Rafael Varane as well, Ferland Mendy to a certain extent. And yeah, of course, it's that squad doesn't have enough depth, I guess, to cope and cover all those problems that they've had. And we're down to the last two already before Zidane said that physically, just before the second leg against Liverpool in the Champions League, saying like, we're on the edge, we're on the limit here. And nothing has changed really since then. So I think physically it's going to be very difficult as well. If they go and win the last two games, which might not be enough, but if they do it, it's purely mentally. And this is a squad of champions though. They've been there before, but I think physically they're gone.
Guys, great stuff. Should be a great end to the La Liga season. For more from Jules, check out the Gavin Jules Show, available in podcast form on our website. Lots of La Liga talk on the latest episode, which you can download today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the show. You all right? Get your breath over there?
I think I'll need to go and lie down after that. That was tough.
You might need to. All right, well, thanks to you, although your work's not done. Thanks to everybody who's joined us.
Can you be a bit more sincere, please?
No, we got extra time coming.
Thanks to
you, Craig, Natum, and our viewers' questions. Don't miss it. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition of Extra Time. Steve Nichol, straight face as always.
What'd you call that?
Where did I come up with it?
What do you call that introduction?
It's just a greeting. Just a normal, pleasant greeting. Like the one I'm going to give to Craig Burley and Natum Anua. They're with us as well. Here with some questions. Natum, first one for you. If Chelsea win the FA Cup on Saturday, does it give them a huge boost to go and add another trophy against your former club? Or is the Champions League just on its own a motivation to step up and accomplish?
I think for me, the Champions League is just by itself. I think winning the FA Cup would be great for Chelsea, but they have a different pressure, as Craig said in our show earlier, because they're the favourites against Leicester. But the Champions League itself, you know, they are essentially going to be going in as the underdog, so it's a whole different experience. So, yeah, I think Chelsea will probably win in the FA Cup, but I don't think it carries any weight come Champions League final day.
Right, Craig? It doesn't matter.
I mean, individual games, but it's always good to be winning, isn't it? Rather than, you know, to build a bit of momentum, bit of confidence, keep everybody fit. So it doesn't do any harm. How much effect it will have, I don't know. I suppose that could come down really in the Champions League final to how City operate, because you got to feel if City really operate well, they're probably going to win that game. Although Chelsea did have something to say for a couple of games recently against that, but I think we'll see a better City in the Champions League final.
Dan asks, is Maguire one of the most underappreciated players in the world, Stevie, now that we've seen how much Manchester United struggle defensively without him? This is one of those interesting ones where when a team plays worse when the player's not there, they get credit.
Yes. To be honest, I think it's credit that's due.
So you do think he's underappreciated?
Well, I don't think he's under. I don't think so. Let's be honest. Manchester United and world football are one of the better sides. So the fact that he's the captain and he plays every single minute of every game if he's fit tells you that he's not underappreciated. Mm-hmm. I think what shows more is the lack of depth that Manchester United have got in the position, as opposed to him being underrated. I think that's what showed up. Not the fact that he's brilliant. I think it showed up the fact that when they don't have any of the regular centre-backs, of which he is one, then they're kind of scratching around a bit to get by.
Natum, give us a centre-back's perspective on Maguire.
So I think he's a very good player. I think, as we've seen, and as Steve has just alluded to there, he's the captain of Manchester United, and I think he is that for a reason. And we've seen in this last week, you know, when he doesn't play, like the drop-off seems to be like way too big. So I think he's very, very good. I think the amount of money which they paid for him from back when You know, that must have been the going rate, but it felt like a lot, especially when you were seeing that someone like a Virgil van Dijk was going for similar money. Now, I don't think he's as good as van Dijk, but I think his importance to Manchester United, as we've seen, is essentially the same as van Dijk's is to Liverpool. So, yeah, I think he's a very good player, and, you know, if he's fit, it makes Manchester United a far better side.
Stevie, were your title-winning sides given guards of honour? Do you feel like they are a nice gesture or too over the top? We saw it today from Newcastle for Manchester City.
No, it's a nice gesture.
Were you guys given it?
I think so, yeah.
You don't even remember.
It's hard to remember.
You would remember that. Five league titles and a packet of crisps.
I remember. I think we did it at Watford way back in the early 80s. I think the interesting thing would be, though, is if either Liverpool or Manchester United won it and had to go
right
to either Old Trafford or Anfield, would a guard of honour be given?
Would it be just that rivalry or like any rivalry? Let's say it was Everton and Liverpool or whatever. Manchester United, Manchester City, no, you don't do it for your rivals?
No, Everton, Liverpool, there would be
given. There's a respect.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that would be the test, though. Right. Old Trafford or Anfield for the opposition.
The begrudging clap, you can just imagine, right?
What?
Written through your teeth.
Yeah, right.
Craig, what do you think? Is this something that we like or no?
Not particularly.
I knew it.
Happy Harry there, eh?
So, can you imagine Celtic and Rangers in Scotland?
No. There'd be a brawl, right? Yeah.
Well, no, it wouldn't be the... You know, whatever team was given the guard of honour, those players would have to find different places to live. You know what I mean? It's like, not going to happen. So, yeah, it's part of the game now that seems to happen quite a lot, but I'm not really too fond of it, to be quite honest.
Who comes closest to Conte from their playing days? Craig, you were a box to box type, right? I mean, of this panel.
Sometimes. Sometimes I was just box. I didn't get back to the other box. I certainly was in my pomp at Celtic, yeah. And to an extent at Chelsea, and then as your career goes on, you change your game.
Yeah.
So, what was Conte not a wider player?
I always remember him in the middle, but yeah.
Well, what do you remember?
Natum, anybody you played with that reminds you of N'Golo Conte?
Oh, N'Golo Conte? I thought you meant Antonio Conte.
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break, man.
You know, in terms of distance covered, I would have to say Jordan Henderson for when I was at Sunderland with him, because he's the only person really that I've seen posting similar sorts of numbers. Like, we're talking like 12 to 13K a game. Like, for Jordan back then, it wasn't necessarily as effective as Kante is now, but he definitely had the capacity to be able to cover those sorts of distances. So I think for him, you know, if he had the choice as well, I think he'd rather play the 8 and be a box-to-box midfielder now. And I think he'd probably do it quite well.
Craig, anyone who reminds you of Kante and not Conte?
Well, I can't see the question because I haven't got my glasses on, and your pronunciation of Kante, Kante's a... Oh, shut up. I'm not answering the question.
Stevie. Right,
get stuffed.
The Jordan Henderson comparison, not a bad shot from Natum.
I tell you, Patrick Vieira used to get around. Plus, he had a lot of other stuff on top.
Yep.
As far as interceptions, as far as tackles, as far as getting around the field, I tell you, Patrick Vieira was everywhere.
For Stevie, do coaches who used to be players have a bias towards strengthening the position they themselves played first? So was the first thing you focused on when you managed the defense?
No, I wouldn't say so.
No. You just look at the team, what's wrong with
you
it?
You look at the team and you try and figure out where the problems are.
And you know a little bit more about defense.
And if you've got that many problems, then you go to the most important one and then work your way around it. So, no, you don't automatically just go, right, I'm going straight to where I played. No, that wouldn't make you a good coach, would it?
No, I don't think so. Natum, go ahead.
Okay, so I've got a good one. So I don't know if you played with, but I was coached by Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank when I was at QPR. And I remember Jimmy as a player, like, I loved him in terms of the way he attacked, all the goal scoring, all that stuff. But he came to us, and the thing he was obsessed about the most was defending. to the point whereby he made us like exceptionally solid, but we just didn't really score that many goals. And it just seemed like, it seemed so surreal, because I remember him being one thing, but then here he was as the other. He was obsessed, and maybe it still is to a certain extent, about getting you as fit as possible and defending and being as solid as possible. And it's just not something I expected from him, but I ended up quite enjoying it, to be honest.
Interesting, yeah. I think the manager doesn't always bring what you might expect from their playing career.
Everybody's different.
Nadim, oh man, of course, we end on a high note. Nadim, what was it like being interviewed by Shaka? Is he the next Walter Cronkite?
Oh my goodness.
Walter
Mitty is... Shaka, yeah, secret life. No, Shaka is Shaka. Like, for me personally, I remember watching Shaka, I remember watching Craig. Unfortunately, I don't remember watching Stevie, but...
Oh, shit, come on. Seriously.
I'm not quite that age. I'm not quite there. But, to be able to speak to him and to be able to talk about, like, things that really matter and so on, it was a nice moment, because, like, what you go from playing to being on the other side, but when you're on the other side and you see that there are lots of good people on the other side as well, it does make you feel very, very happy. So yeah, Shaka's a legend to me, and I'm very, very happy to be in the same network as him.
But be honest, Alexis carried the interview.
Well, to be fair, yeah, Alexis does. I'm looking forward to seeing it tomorrow at the FA Cup final as well. But Shaka did do his piece, like always, like all good goalkeepers do.
That's right. Everybody has their role. All right, that's it for us here on Extra Time. For Craig, Stevie, Nadim, I'm Seb. Thanks for watching ESPN FC, available 7 days a week. Don't miss a single episode. We're back tomorrow.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.